I am the best wrestler in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day because Paul Heyman saw something in me that nobody else wanted to admit. I've grabbed so many of Vincent K. McMahon's imaginary brass rings that it's finally dawned on me that they're just that, they're completely imaginary. The only thing that's real is me, and the fact that day in and day out, for almost 6 years, I have proved to everybody in the world that I am the best on this microphone, in that ring, even at commentary. Nobody can touch me.
CMJU's Wrestling Reviews. This is number, I forget. I'm still tired from Otakon. So is my other partner who joined me, and he's actually the reason why I'm doing this episode. TWK, my partner from Riftdown, is joining us once again.
Hello, I'm TWK of TWK Reviews. I'm here to entertain you. And today we take a look at another pay-per-view in WCW's history, and quite a historic one this is.
This is Bash of the Beach
at the
1996. Beach. Is that really matter at this point?
You have to get at least the basic titles right.
Bash at the Beach, 1996. Can you tell I'm still exhausted from Otakon?
No.
No.
I don't care.
You don't care?
No, we have to talk about wrestling right now. Get tired later.
Well, considering that you're the one who, like, begged me to want to do this.
This is the greatest night in your history as a fan of Hulk Hogan.
Oh, God. You've had this circled on your calendar because you're going to enjoy every bit of this, aren't you?
I don't know what you're talking about.
My friends, ladies and gentlemen. What are you, ripping up the ticket for this pay-per-view?
No, that's... Sure, let's go with that. That's totally not me ripping up my calendar.
Well, you do gotta, you know, hide the evidence. But yes, you know, I did have thoughts of reviewing this back in July. Things happened. I thought, well, I'll do it next year. But, you know, Tito's like, oh, dude, no, if you do it, I'll join you because you so gotta totally review Bash at the Beach in 1996. And I'm like, what the hell?
This is coming out in a couple months.
The Hulkamania, which... The way things are going money-wise right now would be only getting 8 hours of work a week. I'm probably not going to be able to buy. Because, you know, I'm responsible and I pay bills.
No, you can't be responsible. You gotta be like Paul Heyman, a real Jew.
Yeah, but see, the thing is, Paul Heyman can hide from the creditors because he's got Brock Lesnar.
Are you saying you're not good at hiding?
No, I'm just saying that I don't have a 400-pound gorilla to protect me.
Well, in some ways, you are a 400-pound gorilla.
Really? You went there. You motherfucker.
If I wasn't, you were.
No, I'm just Fluffy. You went over the line. You went over Fluffy into straight to obese.
How much of a line is there between that?
A lot.
Well, I apologize to all the obese people out there.
I got T-Dub to apologize. Win-win for me!
But I'm not apologizing to you.
But no, this is a historic one, and it did make sense to at least get one more episode out before the summer ends and before we go back to school. And considering all the stuff I've been busy with, I did want to get one out. So, you know, we're going to review Bash at the Beach, 1996. Obviously historic because it was the formation of the NWO, Hulk Hogan turning on WCW, and I have not seen this pay-per-view since it pretty much went down in 1996.
We'll go that, and we'll get to why it traumatized your childhood once we get to the main events.
Oh yes, once we get to the main event, but you know, of course, a lot of good things happen. You know, as we're doing this recording, we've got, you know, SummerSlam going down tomorrow. And I'm actually in the process of trying to look up, I believe they just announced the roster for 2K.
Yep. 2K15, and yes.
2K15.
And no NXT wrestlers have been announced.
I'm getting to it now.
However, they have announced that when if you play the game on a current console, being Xbox One or PS4, you'll get to start in NXT and work your way up in the My Career mode.
Yep. Well, I would imagine because DLCs are getting extremely popular, so yeah. I imagine there's going to be an NXT, you know, DLC at some point. But let's go down the list. We got Bray Wyatt, Cesaro, Hulk Hogan, John Cena, Roman Reigns, Sting Retro, Chris Jericho, Dolph Ziggler, Fandango, Sheamus, Big Show, Sandow, Lesnar, Punk. Take it in while you can, folks. This is probably the last time you'll ever see Punk actually in the WWE ring.
Yep.
Triple H, Shawn Michaels, Goldust, Dean Ambrose, Batista, The Usos, AJ Lee, Big E, Zack Swagger, Tyson Kidd, yay, Darren Young, yay, Rey Mysterio, double yay, The Bellas, O'Neil, Titus O'Neil, The Rock, Hollywood Hulk Hogan, Seth Rollins, Kofi Kingston, R-Truth, Justin Gabriel, Randy Orton, Naomi, Daniel Bryan, Xavier Woods, yay!
Yes, we finally have a Black Power Ranger in these games.
Yes, we do. Oh God, how many people are gonna change his costume to that with like the creativity you know is gonna be in this game? The Miz, Tamina, Rob Van Dam, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Rowan Harper, The Undertaker. So now we can finally fix that mistake that WWE made at last WrestleMania.
We're talking about what mistake?
That mistake where they had Lesnar win.
It's only a mistake if they were wrong.
And they were wrong.
Lie!
The
only problem with that match is that it was over 5 minutes and The Undertaker didn't tap out.
Well, here's how I can prove that WWE is wrong. They're admitting they're wrong on this list because they apparently have rehired Alberto Del Rio, Bad News Barrett, Booker T, Cameron, Cody Rhodes. I wonder if he'll have a Stardust version of himself.
DLC.
Curtis Axel, Kane, Kevin Nash, Mark Henry, Natalya, Ric Flair, Ryback, Santino Marella, and Summer Rae.
I'm on the official page, and I don't see Kevin Nash anywhere.
I'm on the one for the Bleacher Report, and they have at the bottom number 56, Kevin Nash.
That's kind of strange, because, yeah, I'm on the official website, which has their roster, and I don't see Kevin Nash anywhere.
Strange. Do they have 62?
They don't count, so I don't know.
This has 62. Now, I thought you told me there were going to be 90-something.
Yeah, Smack Talks said that he counted the roster spots, and he said they counted 92, so maybe there'll be more to come, because if you look on this page, it says full roster coming soon.
Oh, okay. Again, I'm on the one on Bleacher
Report. And that's why you don't, yeah, don't do that. Bleacher Report, it pretty much invalidates anything you have to say. Just
well, it's saying here's a look at the full listing reveal of Superstars featured 2K for a courtesy of WWE.com and IGN.com Live.
Well, it's still Bleacher Report, so.
But, you know, it does have me excited. I'm going to be buying another, you know, I skipped 2K14. I got 2K13. You know, I am going to get it, if for nothing else, just so I can do a game night with you guys. And it'll be me, Maddie J, versus Maddie J versus T-Dub.
Well, I'm not sure if me and all you guys will have the same console, because I don't have a PS3, and if I get a PS4, I'll be the only one with a PS4.
Oh, I have a PS4 as well.
Ah, so then we would be the only ones.
Yeah.
And that's if I get a PS4. I'm still on the fence about that.
Get it. It's worth it. Trust me.
But it costs so much monies.
It's worth it.
But I don't want... I already bought a Wii U. Do I need to spend more monies?
Yes.
I can't just keep giving everyone all my money.
Well, we're not telling you to go get an Xbox. You don't have to get that. That one sucks. We're just saying the PS4 is worth it.
And my buddy 16-bit Jeff says the same thing about an Xbox One.
Yeah, but that's because he's a whore to Microsoft.
No, he has his own opinions. And you respect 16-bit Jeff. He's a very awesome person, and he will slap you like the bitch you are.
I will never respect anybody that bowed down to the tyranny that is Xbox. There's only two games worth getting at any Xbox system for, and that is Dead or Alive Extreme and Dead or Alive Extreme 2.
What about Halo? What about the upcoming Tomb Raider game? What about Dead Rising 3?
Yeah. I do believe you can get Dead Rising on PS4.
Dead Rising 3 is not on PS4 at the moment.
But at some point it will. Halo... take it or leave it. It's a shooting game. There's 10 million of them.
But it's a unique shooting game. It has its own universe, has its own characters that are actually fleshed out. And
I'm sorry, when the Machinima animation Red versus Blue makes your universe more interesting than the game does, you fail, sir.
No, that's just because Rooster Teeth are fucking amazing.
They are fucking amazing. And I just watched my favorite episode the other day, I believe it was episode 8 of season... I want to say 8, where Tex comes back and it's Monte Ooms.
Yes, that one. That's so amazing. It's the first time they actually truly let the animation loose.
Yeah. And as for Tomb Raider, everybody is calling bullshit on that.
It's a timed exclusive, so they can wait.
Yeah. But, you know, we're getting into video games. But that's not what we're here. We're here to actually talk about Bash at the Beach, 1996, which took place from Daytona Beach, Florida, at the Ocean City Arena. It doesn't tell me if it's called the Ocean City Arena or whatever. It just says Ocean City. But the Ocean City Arena on July 7th, 1996, with an attendance of, holy shit, 8,300. For whatever reason, I thought there was a lot more than that at that pay-per-view.
It looks like there was more in the camera shots.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I don't know how accurate that number is. It's, the Vogue Market's Pro Wrestling History. Whatever that is.
Attendance is 8,000, but it looks like it was a lot more.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, the taglines is, this is no day at the beach, catch the big one. And if you have the VHS cover, it has Lex Luger and Macho Man Randy Savage. Because why pimp our main event?
Well, they were part of the main event, but it wasn't those two going one-on-one.
Well, Luger was in it for, what, barely 5 minutes?
Yeah, Luger was in the main event for barely 5 minutes.
And yet he's on the fucking box. We couldn't put Sting there.
Yeah, I think that actually Rey Mysterio deserves to be on the cover more than Luger.
Oh, we'll get to that in a second, because that's the first match. But, you know, ladies and gentlemen, let's get into it, shall we? Let's get in to Bash at the Beach 1996. Right into it, shall we? We're going to start off by commenting on the 1, 2, 3, 4, damn, 5 dark matches.
Well, one of them was a dark match at the restaurant, WCW main events.
Yeah, a main event, which I forgot that was on, like, right before the pay-per-view. So, hopefully WWE will have that and can show them at one point in time. But if you include the 5, you have, holy shit, 14 matches.
14 matches, and what I assume that all those main event matches were within an hour, considering how short they were.
Well, let's see. One was 5 minutes, one was 2 minutes, another was 2 minutes, and the one was three and a half minutes, and one was 4.5 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's go down. We have Jim Powers, the porn producer? No, I'm sorry. Wrong Jim Powers. Defeating Hugh Morris.
I don't find anything funny about that.
There is actually a porn producer by the name of Jim Powers.
I'm just going to leave that alone.
I just make that joke because I've never heard of him before.
Jim Powers, really?
Or at least I don't remember hearing about him.
Well, Jim Powers was a mainstay at WCW for a while.
I'm trying to look at who he okay, he was with the Young Stallions. I'm trying to look and see who he was with. He was with Roma. Anyway, so, but apparently he defeats Hugh Morris. And see, that's the thing. I know who Hugh Morris is.
Yes, he's Hugh G. Rection.
Oh, goddamn, that poor bastard. I would love to take a training session from him just once.
There are reports that he molests people.
I'm sure. Jesus Christ. But our next match is the Steiner Brothers versus Harlem Heat with Colonel Robert Parker for the Tag Team Championship. The Steiner Brothers win by disqualification. I really would like to see that match because Harlem Heat's one of my favorites. Sucker!
While the people may know Colonel Robert Parker better as Tennessee Lee in WWE as a manager for Jeff Jarrett.
Yes. And of course, you know, as Colonel Parker, he managed the magnificent one, Stunning Steve Austin.
Yep.
The next match is Bob Walker defeating Billy Kidman in 2 minutes. Can you say squash?
Yep, and this was pre-flock Kidman.
Yep. The next one is another tag team match, the Rock and Roll Express of Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson defeat Fire and Ice, a.k.a. Scott Norton and Ice Train, again in 2 minutes, 8 seconds. And then the final match is Eddie Guerrero versus Lord Steven Regal, which I really wouldn't like to see that, except that it was only 3 minutes and 38 seconds.
It probably was one hell of a three and a half minute match.
Oh, I'm sure it was.
I'm sure it's better than half the matches on this card.
Yeah. Well, with the exception of two.
Yeah, that's what I said. Better than half the matches on the card.
And speaking of that, let's get to match of the night.
Yeah, first match is the best match we have in the entire night.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's not just the Usos and the Wyatts who stole the show at Battleground being the first match. That's not the first time that that's happened. Here again, we have the first match of the night stealing the entire goddamn show. Rey Mysterio versus Psychosis in a single match, and holy fucking shit, this match is amazing.
Of course, it doesn't hurt that Rey Mysterio and Psychosis have a lot of chemistry together as they've wrestled each other a lot over their career.
Oh, absolutely, in Triple A. You know, they had matches in ECW before this.
Yep.
So they've had great chemistry, and this was a great match. And it wasn't just all flying around. There was some great ground and pound by Psychosis, but the moves, you know, one thing that actually was said about this, and by the way, this is the only time where I actually like Mike Today announcing.
Well, this is where he pretty much got his fame as being the professor, is they brought him in because he knew all about Lucha Libre and Puro Risu when they were bringing in the Japanese and Mexican wrestlers, so they would bring him into the commentary booth. By the way, our commentators tonight are Tony Schiavone, Bobby the Brain Heenan, and Dusty Rhodes, and for this, they decided to bring in Mike Tenay for
Mike
this match.
Mike Tenay. Yeah.
We saw some great stuff here. We saw Mike Tenay do some absolutely astounding backgrounds for Lucha Libre. He gave him great background for this match for people who are not familiar with Lucha Libre. We saw some great moves by Rey Mysterio and Psicosis. One of them being a suicide dive by Psicosis onto Rey Mysterio, and damn near hit his head on the guardrail.
Actually, let's go. He went over the top rope.
Yes.
Over the top rope suicide dive. And it's not that he hit his head on the guardrail. He almost hit his head underneath. Because as he went down, he continued to slide and almost went underneath the guardrail.
Yeah, it's just a lot of momentum going flying like that.
Yeah. You know, and one interesting thing, again, going back to Mike Today, is I did not know that Rey Mysterio listed Scott Steiner as one of his influences.
I see what you did there. Anyway.
What?
Anyway.
What?
Anyways.
No, that was actually said on the pay-per-view.
Sure it was. And I'm a billionaire.
Did you watch this pay-per-view on WWE Network?
Yes, I did. I just got done watching it 20 minutes ago.
Yeah,
I took notes. I have my notes right in front of me.
Yeah, and they said that in the match.
And I'll believe that as much as I believe that I'm a billionaire.
So in other words, you're saying that they were making that shit up.
Are you saying that WCW doesn't lie?
Well, when I was 8 years old, I didn't believe that they lied. Then I grew up.
Anyways. There's one move that Rey Mysterio did where Psicosis is on one side of the apron and Rey Mysterio is on a perpendicular side, and he does a Frankenstein from one side to the other to the outside.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Classic Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, classic Rey Mysterio before he destroyed his knees.
Yep. And, of course, the springboard, as they call it, the springboard Icy Moonsault, twisting Icy Moonsault.
Yes, that was absolutely stunning.
But, of course, my favorite is the end.
Oh,
the counter of Splash Mountain into a Frankenstein.
Oh, yes. Absolutely amazing.
So amazing that then when they go backstage for the interview segment that Mean Gene's going to have with Conan, they actually have to stop and talk about that for a second. Like, what the hell did we just see?
Yeah, because the States weren't used to seeing that level of Lucha Libre.
Yeah. And Conan did a great job of showcasing exactly just what people saw.
Yes, but after that, we had to get to the shit.
Yes, our next match is John Tenta, the man formerly known as Shark, a.k.a. the man known formerly in the WWE as Earthquake, versus Big Bubba, you know, the Big Boss Man, but couldn't be called the Big Boss Man because the WWE owned the name rights, with Jimmy Hart in a Carson City Silver Dollar match, or as it's best known as, you know, WCW likes to put shit on a pole.
Yep, my first note says, that sack looks like a used condom. because it does. The way it's just dangling there.
Well, considering these guys and how big they are, it probably is.
Also, what the fuck is with Tenta's hair?
I think they said in storyline that basically on like a past altercation, they cut half of it off.
He should.
Because I would say
Tenta should have cut the rest of it off because that was just not that look. Just
yeah.
Not...
I had to watch them because I just had to see what the hell, like, because I had to go get something when the match started when I watched it the first time, and I missed them. Like, did they do something to his hair? So I, literally 20 minutes ago, I rewatched that match. I'm like, holy shit, no, he came to the ring like that. And they basically said in storyline that they did something. And he, the thing is, Bossman, or just a Big Bubba, tried to cut it off during the match, which is what leads to the end, but... Yeah, it was two big guys pounding on each other. And then a gimmick of Jimmy Hart climbing the pole.
Yep.
It's, you know, that's not the first time that's ever been said.
He can really climb it, though. He looks like he's experienced.
Oh, yeah. He's really experienced at working poles.
Yes, anyways.
I'm 5 years old now.
Yes, anyways. Jimmy Hart gets the sack of... I think there was a dollar coins in there.
Supposedly it was a sack full of a roll of silver dollars.
Yes, so he grabs it, but John Tenta grabs the sack out of Jimmy Hart's hand and uses Jimmy's sack to sack Big Bubba. Big Bubba goes down, gets pinfall, and then John Tenta pours his sack all over Big Bubba.
Because, and let's just clarify, the rules of this match was, you know, because, you know, in an attempt by WCW to make the rules, I guess, less obvious and a bit more difficult, because, you know, it's a thing on a pole, how hard is it to figure out, you get the thing on the pole, you hit people with it, but that was the thing, is that the first person to be able to get the sack off the pole gets to use it against his opponent legally.
Yep.
So, and, yeah. Tenta hit Bubba in the face with a bunch of silver dollars.
Yeah, but then he poured his sack all over Big Bubba.
I see what you're trying to lead me to, but I'm blanking. But with, you know, speaking of stuff that spills all over, let's get to our next match.
First off, after that, we actually had a promo from Savage Luger and Sting.
Yeah.
And Savage was awesome. Luger was weak, and Sting cut a pretty decent promo.
Yep. I'm trying to stay away from the promos because it was half the promos really didn't do anything for me. Like the Flair promo. I was like, oh god, is it over yet? Is it over yet?
You don't like Ric Flair promos?
It does, but that one just went too long.
You apparently have never watched classic Saturday NWA Wrestling where Ric Flair would often cut 5 to 7 minute promos just on a dime.
Yeah, but those were fun. Those were himself. Half the time, Mean Gene was talking in this.
Yeah, that's true, and didn't need that.
Yeah.
Anyways, our next match was a Tate Fist match for the, what was it, the Lord of...
The Battle Bowl... The
Lord of the Ring Ring.
Lord of the Ring Ring, yes, which... Diamond Dallas Page won, and it was Diamond Dallas Page versus Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Who didn't have his fists taped up?
No, he did. It's just that Diamond Dallas took him off.
I did not notice that.
Yeah, in fact, you made the same mistake that Bobby the Brain Heenan makes in the match, which is, you know, at some point, you're like, wait a minute, his fists aren't taped. No, Diamond Dallas took him off.
I thought Dallas Page pulled the tape out of his pants.
Well, he did. He pulled it out of his pants and taped up his legs, and while the referee was dealing with the tape, he apparently had a pair of scissors or something, and he took off the tape off Duggan's hand.
Anyways, this match kind of sucked. It was very slow.
Yeah.
And it was thankfully ended with a dime cutter from DDP.
Yeah. I mean, you saw that one coming. It was just like, it is.
Also, the people were chanting USA. DDP is from New Jersey. You
well,
fucks.
Well, gotta remember, this is Florida.
Right. Anything outside of Florida is not America.
Exactly.
Anyways, after the match, Hacksaw gets his heat back, which completely ruins the point of this match.
Yep. But moving on to another piece of crap. I can't believe I'm saying it about these two tag teams. But the Nasty Boys of Brian Knobbs and Jerry Sags versus Public Enemy Rocco Rock and Johnny Grunge in a double dog collar match.
Yep. Fuck the Nasty Boys, but I do like Public Enemy.
You know, I do like both teams. My issue is some of the weakest weapon shots I've seen.
Also the weakest table bump I've ever seen.
Dude! That table! I could not stop laughing. I could not!
This match was absolutely terrible.
It was, but that made me laugh because that was hilarious how they could not break that table.
I'm sure Matthew somewhere was laughing.
Oh, I am sure. I'm sure that's probably what the initial thing that inspired that little joke on Botchamania.
Maybe. Yep. Anyways, Nasty Boys win. Who cares?
Yeah, I just want to leave it with this. When the hardest weapon shot is the one with the plastic shark.
Yeah.
You know you're in trouble.
Our next match is the second best match of the night.
Yes, and who would have thought you would say that about a Disco Inferno match?
He's got that disco fever!
Yes, sir! Disco fever! Disco fever! Fever.
Yeah, yeah!
Disco, yeah, yeah, yeah!
Disco
as we...
fever! Disco fever! Yeah, 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 yeah! Disco fever! Disco fever! Oh, are we stopped singing?
Oh, I'm just letting you go on because you got it. But we have the for the WCW Cruiserweight Championship, we have the Cruiserweight Champion Dean Malenko versus Disco Inferno in one hell of a match, where Disco Inferno really shined.
Yep.
And
by the way, I have to know Heenan's line here. Sit down, Michael Jackson. This man can dance.
I believe he said, "Sit down." He said, "Sit down, Michael Jackson, and somebody else." Oh, and Fred Astaire.
Nobody remembers Fred Astaire.
I know who Fred Astaire is.
Because you're old.
No, I'm not old. I'm seasoned.
Is that what you're going to be telling yourself for the rest of your life?
Yes. That was the joke among the voice actors when they went to Otakon, you know, when I spoke with Tony Oliver and Wendy Lee. I'm like, no, you're not an old voice actor. You're a seasoned.
Wendy Lee is not old, goddammit.
No, she's not, but she's been in the industry for a long time. And she's been in there since at least the mid-90s.
Wow, it's been that long, really?
Yeah.
Goddamn, anyways. good match here. One thing I like is, as before the match starts, Disco Inferno cuts a promo and he calls Dean Malenko Mr. Personality.
And then Dean Malenko comes out and proceeds to beat the shit out of him.
Yeah, we saw Dean Malenko do a nice brainbuster, which Bobby the Brain Heenan calls a pile driver.
Yeah.
Malenko initially works over Disco's leg, which he sells pretty well, but then just stops doing that, which kind of bothered me.
I guess that's the one thing in the match, but, you know, at the same point in time, at this point, Disco Inferno started taking over and looked really good as well. But the finish of the match, I did like as well, because I like the fluidity of it.
Yeah, there is some good storytelling here with Disco Inferno. Like, you notice that he sometimes starts taunting, and he's like, oh, shit, I got to go for cover. He's just like, it's sort of the evolution of, no, I got to be more serious now. This for the title. I got to win!
Yeah, I love that.
And the fact that the commentators pick up on that and they go with it really helps.
See, that shows you that they had the ability to be good. That's what really hurts and sucks about why WCW was so bad. You had all these people who could do good matches, who could do good commentary, but because they were just there for the check, they just didn't give a damn. And you felt like if there was a way to make these people care more about what they were doing, think of the shit they could have really put on.
Right.
I mean... They were able to beat WWE in the ratings with a lot of people really not caring, except for the cruiserweight division.
Yeah, these two guys put on one. Like we said, the mid card, the lower mid card, guys like most in the cruiserweight division, are the people who really brought people here to see some unbelievably great wrestling.
Yeah. Let's put it this way. If you were a wrestling fan, you came to see the Cruiserweights. If you just wanted to see some fun storyline that I guess made you feel more adult, you went and paid attention to the NWO.
Right.
Yeah. So, great match. And then with that, we go to our another crap match and squash match for the evening in what was apparently his third match ever. We have Steve Mongo McMichaels with Queen Deborah versus Joey Gomes, to which I say, who?
Joe Gomez.
Yeah, like I said, who?
Yeah, anyways, Mongo is very sloppy in the match, and he hits a tombstone for the win. Moving on.
Yep.
So our next match, which was kind of all right, I guess.
For the WCW United States title, we have Ric Flair with Miss Elizabeth and Woman versus Conan.
Woman and Elizabeth would not shut up at ringside.
Nope.
Anyways, well, there's a few things I liked about this match. First off, Conan comes out wearing a Captain Crunch jacket, and he has ass tassels.
I like that, yeah. I also love that he had AAA.
Yeah, right on the singlet.
Yep. And let's be honest, Conan outshined Ric Flair in this match.
I'm not sure if I'll go that far.
Or I thought he did a better job than Ric Flair.
I think he kind of held his own here. I think this match may have gone on a bit too long. I think some other matches could have used the time.
Yeah. But, you know, it was also that thing up to where it's just the constant interference took me out of the match. And then the supposed finishing shot with the shoe.
Yep, the spiked heel.
The spiked heel. And once again, so weak when she hits it.
Yeah, it was a pretty weak shot to Conan. And Ric Flair not only covers Conan, but he puts his feet not on the middle rope, not on the bottom rope, but on the top rope.
The top rope.
It's like, are you fucking kidding me? This has to be a rib.
And the referee doesn't see it.
It has to be a rib.
I know. It had to be.
Oh, God. But yeah, that's pretty much actually one of the better matches, even though it wasn't all that great. But next we have the Four Horsemen versus the Dungeon of Doom.
To be more specific, we have the Giant and the Taskmaster, versus Arn Anderson and Chris Benoit.
This match pretty much was Four Horsemen beat down Kevin Sullivan, he tags in the Giant, the Giant squashes Arn Anderson while Benoit and Sullivan fight in the audience, and then the Giant wins. That's the entire match.
Yeah.
Everything else that happens just literally feels like filler.
Yeah. Well, let me put it this way. For me, what happens after the match is a whole lot more interesting than the match itself. Benoit's beatdown of the Taskmaster was brutal and just more interesting to me than the actual match itself.
It's just too bad those matches they would eventually have together wouldn't be all that great.
Yeah.
Kim Sullivan is kind of a terrible wrestler.
Yeah. He used to be good.
He was way past his prime here.
Yep.
But now it's time to get to the match that we've all been waiting for.
Or the match that you've been waiting for.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, the Outsiders of Kevin Nash and Scott Hall versus Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan didn't show up, but let's do this. The Outsiders of Kevin Nash and Scott Hall versus Randy Savage, Sting, and Lex Luger. Hulk Hogan would come later, but I don't think that's a surprise to anybody at this point in time.
Whose side is he on?
I will say this. They did a great job throughout the show, as annoying as it got, of keeping, we really don't know who the third person is.
Yes. And the crowd was absolutely hot for this entire match, pretty much.
Yeah.
But 5 minutes into the match, Lex Luger gets KO'd by accidentally Sting, who Stinger splashed his head in the corner.
Yeah.
And one thing you have to note is that at the time, there were considering making Sting the third man, which is why he did this, so they could set that up later.
Yeah.
But Hulk Hogan, at the last minute, agreed to be the third man, so that's... Yeah, so Sting... So there was just false seeds.
Yeah. I mean, the match was okay. Especially now that you know what's coming, a lot of the match just it's you feel like you're just waiting for Hogan to come out.
Oh yeah, this match was alright for what it was, I guess. But one thing you have to know is how much energy you're feeling from Tony Schiavone of all people. He was in full on kick his ass mode. He was just full on rage against the outsiders.
Oh yeah, and Dusty Rhodes as well.
Yeah, this is
get him. Go get him! Go get him! Go get him! Go kick his ass! Kick his ass! Kick his ass!
And one thing I love is that one point during the match, Sting actually dropkicks Kevin Nash in the quad.
Yeah.
That made me chuckle a bit.
Yeah.
That's the move that started it all. Ever since then, his quad has never been the same. Anyways, of course, after a while, Hulk Hogan comes out.
As he's walking out, I love that, like, you know, Bobby Heenan is so quick, like, is he the third man? And they're like, stop it, how could that be?
Yeah, the thing is that Bobby Heenan really didn't know who the third man was. So yeah. He was actually just trying to be a heel commentator, because he hates Hulk Hogan, so he was, of course he would suspect him.
Yeah, I know, and that's why I laugh at it, because it's a funny thing, because he's always blamed Hogan, and then finally, the first time... For the first time, he's actually right about Hogan.
Yes.
And I have to say this. You know what? This may be the thing that, as an 8-year-old, when I saw this, and even though I stuck around for a little bit while, I did not like Hulk Hogan being the bad guy. You know, I can appreciate it now that I'm older.
Yes, anyways, as, of course, Hulk Hogan comes in, the infamous Who's Line comes up, he goes in the ring, the whole crowd's going insane because everyone in the crowd's like, Hulk Hogan's gonna kick their ass, Hulk Hogan's gonna save WCW, and then leg drop onto Savage. The crowd absolutely loses their minds. They could not believe what they saw.
Yeah.
It was unfathomable that Hulk Hogan could be a bad guy to anyone at the time.
Yeah. You have to put things in perspective, and I can put it in perspective like how I felt as Nate. You're like, no, he can't turn his back on us. What's going on?
And then Hulk Hogan actually cuts a pretty decent promo on.
Cuts one hell of a promo.
Yeah, he pretty much said that he only came to WCW for the money, which is true.
Nope.
And how he invited Scott Hall and Kevin Nash over to invade the company.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, at the end, Tony Schiavone says that this is the end of Hulkamania, and that Hulk Hogan can go to hell.
You can just go to hell.
And then you can actually hear him drop his headset in anger, which I thought was a nice touch.
Yeah. I mean, it is one of those things where really you have to look back at when this happened just to realize how controversial this was.
It's a very rare thing for a heel turn to be this effective. I mean, this is one of the most just iconic moments in professional wrestling history right here.
Yeah, I would dare say it's probably one of the greatest heel turns in history.
Of course, because then it would create the NWO, which start off as something really great, but of course, a year later after they've... I think that the NWO should have ended at Starrcade 97.
Yeah. And, you know, and here's the thing, you know, and again, I'm going off Kevin Nash because, again, I watch those great Legends of Wrestling things on the WWE Network, and I watched the one on NWO. You know, and like you said earlier, it was, you know, they didn't know whether it was going to be Sting or Hogan, and Sting didn't want to do it, and Hogan didn't want to do it. And as I said, thank God Hogan jumped on, saw that money train, like, I can still get, to quote Kevin Nash, he saw that money train starting to roll up to the station, like, you know, I could still jump on that.
Right.
And I'll say this. I think if it had been Sting, I don't think it would have been as effective of a storyline.
No, probably not. I mean, it probably would have been okay, but I don't think it would have had that impact of just that, the feeling of all those people, all those Hulk Hogan fans just seeing their hero turn on them.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is it also makes more sense, you know, because these guys came from WWE.
Yes.
Or and Hogan came from WWF, as it was known at the time.
Yes, and all the original members of the NWO were ex-WWF guys.
Luger.
No, Luger didn't join the initial NWO. The initial NWO was Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, Hulk Hogan, Ted DiBiase, Virgil, and Six. And then later on,
Macho Man would join.
Macho Man would join, and then Rick Rude would join.
Mm-hmm.
And then a few months, and then as the months kept going on and on and on, they kept keep adding more people, and it started getting diluted, and it was starting to fill up with WCW people, and it just lost its meaning.
Yeah,
and it's.
I mean, and that's a whole nother joke because we could go on all night talking about who joined and how. I mean, there were things they did. I think like the separation of like NWO Red and NWO Black that I thought did work, but yeah. But you know, here, goddamn effective way to start off a storyline.
Oh yes. Because people had no idea what to expect. Now they're like, Hulk Hogan's the bad guy, and he is he going to kill WCW? What's going on? What? People literally had no idea what to expect now.
And look, as a kid, I did feel betrayed. I can speak to this. When I was a kid, I felt betrayed. You know, maybe if I was a teenager, I would have thought this was the most awesome thing ever.
Yeah, all the, like, yeah, because this is pretty much what brought in the teenager demographic to WCW. Is like, now Hulk Hogan's the cool guy again. He's not the red and yellow. He's now got a beard. He's wearing black. He's all cool, hanging out with all the cool people. And, of course, Kevin Nash and Scott Hall were definitely the coolest people on the roster.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was one of the things, like, I look back at it now, you know, Hollywood Hulk Hogan is a cool, you know, that's why it was so awesome this past Monday night. You know, when he takes off the yellow and red, and he's got the black and white underneath.
If only he would have had a headband to, like a bandana to match.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Brock Lesnar tried to ruin it.
He should have F5 Brock. Brock Lesnar should have F5 Hulk Hogan. That would have been awesome. And that would have gotten a good heat.
Yeah.
But no, Cena had to ruin everything. Just like Cena ruins everything. Cena ruins everything that ever was. Admit it.
No, that would be Bo Dallas.
No, Bo Dallas is the greatest inspiration in the history of professional wrestling.
But anyways...
And you will know his name is Bo when he lays his motivation upon thee.
Okay. Teed up, I want you to listen to this. You will never, ever use a Quentin Tarantino line like that again. Do I make myself clear?
As clear as a very moldy piece of gelatin.
I'll take it. So final thought, I guess I want to say best favorite moves of the night, but I think they'd all be in the Rey Mysterio psychosis match.
Pretty much.
Yep. So I guess we could just say favorite moves are all in the Mysterio match. Go watch it. Top three matches of the night.
I think this is going to be very obvious, but of course, Rey Mysterio versus psychosis. Let's see, the Cruiserweight Championship match and the main event just for the spectacle of it. While the main event wasn't really anything special in and of itself, but the spectacle of Hulk Hogan turning heel, have to put it up there.
Yeah. And I'll agree, you know, the main event with the Outsiders, number three, because the spectacle made it better than all the other crap matches. Because, again, like I said, you know, as wondrous and as amazing as that historic moment is, you know, the match itself is really kind of crap.
I wouldn't say it was crap, but it was sort of just just all right.
It was just there.
I will say this. The crowd was absolutely hot for that main event. They really helped.
Oh, it was.
That crowd was hot even for the shitty matches, which kind of amazed me.
Yeah.
They were like, John Tenta won. I'm like, you people are so easily entertained. Just send out a monkey and a ball.
It's Florida. What do you expect?
You know you're a native.
I do. Look, let me put it this way. Had that been in Tampa, you wouldn't have probably gotten that reaction for every match.
What city was it in?
It was in Daytona.
Of course, a resort city.
Yeah. Not only a resort city, but it's Daytona Beach. It's a NASCAR city.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Remember, it's Daytona Beach.
Also, yeah, if you actually look in the crowd, you can see how redneck the crowd really is.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when the Public Enemy come out and they're trying to dance along with Public Enemy, you can tell they just don't get it.
Half that crowd wouldn't know what rap is if it slapped him upside the face.
Yeah, a Philadelphia crowd, this was not.
Yes.
I don't think this crowd has any idea why they would name themselves the Public Enemy, what that's a reference to.
Yeah. Exactly. I don't even want to think about that match because I feel so bad for Public Enemy.
Hey, they at least got a short run with the tag belts at one point.
Yeah, but
they got a better run to WCW than they ever did in WWE.
But I mean, when that shark came out, literally when Grunge hit, I think it was Knobbed with the rubber shark. I'm like, oh shit, Public Enemy just jumped the shark.
Oh!
You knew it was coming at some point.
I should have seen it coming.
But back to it, so the Outsiders main event was number 3. Dean Malenko, Disco Inferno for the Cruiserweight Champion, number 2. Just one hell of a match. And, of course, Rey Mysterio versus Psychosis. I would have to see what other matches came out that year. But I think had to be at least a match of the year nominee.
Well, 96, ECW had some decent matches in 96. And WWE in 96, you had the Bret Hart-Steve Austin feud.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. At least a Match of the Year nominee. So, final ratings for this pay-per-view.
What are we rating it out of?
I usually go, 1 to 5.
1 to 5? I'd have to say, based on the match quality alone, I'd give it a 2 out of 5. But just because of that spectacle of the main events and how much of an impact it had in wrestling, I'll give it a 2.5 out of 5, but still say it's a must-see show just for the impact of the main events.
I'll go a bit higher. I'll say a 3 out of 5 because, you have a lot of crappy matches, but you have a must-see match in Mysterio versus Psychosis, and then that main event is must-see, again, for the energy and for the historic moment of it. You owe it to yourself to at least watch this pay-per-view once.
Yes, at least once, just to see if you've only seen clips of this main event, it doesn't do justice just how much the crowd's reaction to Hulk Hogan's turn, just everything about that. Just you have to see it in its entirety in order to fully understand the whole thing. Mm-hmm. It's something you really have to see.
Yeah. It's one of those historic moments in wrestling.
Yep, like Steve Austin, his first title win, watching, the Bret Austin double turn. You have to watch that. And there's some moments of wrestling that you just have to watch.
Yeah. Or like, Bret Hart versus the British Bulldog in England.
Yes, even me, not the biggest Warrior or Hogan fan, you still have to watch that Hogan Warrior match just for its significance.
Yeah. Because that was sort of the turning of Hogan's, place in the company. I mean, even though he was still the man, it was still one of those things like he wasn't the absolute top dog at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, again, it's always fun to hear Hogan talk about that match. Like, Ultimate Warrior was winded after 5 minutes. If you're going to get this, if I'm going to pass the torch to you, you're going to earn it.
Of course, Hogan acted like an absolute bastard after the match.
I'm sure.
He was hogging that spotlight for as long as he could. Took his time to the outside with held the belts. Oh, I can't believe I lost it. Oh, brother. Gave it to Warrior in the ring. They embraced, and then Hogan made his way to the back as slow as possible, being sure to make sure that everyone's attention was on him and not Warrior.
No comment. Anything, how? Thanks, T-Dub, thanks, T-Dub.
You're welcome. I'm glad for being here. And if you want to find my content, you can find it at thebrokeninfinite.com and rvtentertainment.com. You can find my latest review is of Silent Hill Homecoming. I thought I did a quite decent job on it, and I think it's quite entertaining, and people have been telling me the same thing.
And when I have time, I'm going to make sure I watch it in the dark.
Yes, even though the game itself is not scary. It's just like, I'm not going to spoil exactly everything that happens in my review, but the biggest problem with the game is that it's too much cliche American horror.
Exactly. and of course, you can find T-Dub along with myself on Riftdowns on RVT Entertainment every Friday night.
Yep, on RVTV, Ustream.com. Just search for RVTV on there. Should be easy to find. But if you want to know exactly where to find the show, just follow at RVT Official.
Yep. And, of course, you can find T-Dub every, I guess it would be Saturday morning, or as I say, Sunday morning, on the latest episode of The WrestleCast.
Yep, on the latest episode of WrestleCast with Matty J on RVTEntertainment.com. If our website's not fixed by this Sunday, but, you know, you probably already know how the website's going by now by the time this podcast goes up.
Yep.
Just follow at MattyJ316 on Twitter and at RVTOfficial for updates on that.
Yes, sir. And, of course, you know all the places to find me and leave comments. Of course, leave comments for this show and any other show. You can email at absolutionnetwork132@gmail.com. That's absolutionnetwork132@gmail.com. You can also leave a comment on Stitcher, which I will be getting around to updating if you are following us on that. I'm going to get around this week.
I didn't
week.
Know you had Stitcher. That's nice, man.
I finally have Stitcher. I don't have everything up on Stitcher. I've gotten behind.
Yeah,
about a
Stitcher,
month.
Stitcher's the premium thing, man.
Yeah, I'm gonna make sure I catch up by this. But I have to automatically do. See, I'm behind because I have to automatically update our RSS feed.
Yeah, hurry up with that, man. People are getting impatient. They're sending you letters.
all the letters I always get. Of course, you can also find us on Facebook, and you can find us on Facebook and Stitcher, both by searching for the Absolution Network. And you can always leave a comment on the website itself, which you can find at www.an.132productions.com. Which, by the way, listening to the last WrestleCast, it was hilarious listening to you guys try to be like, well, what's his web address again? And, of course, make sure you check out all the other content on the Absolution Network. John Ramos' videos, Shin Tiger Curl's videos. He does awesome stuff. My Tom's Prerogative. My new Thomas's Top 5, which at some point next week I will have a new one celebrating Robin Williams. I plan on doing that. And, of course, the 100th episode should be out. It'll either be out before or after this episode comes out. With my good friend Michael Bailey, so look for that. And, of course, check out my stuff on my Tokyo SOS podcasting site at www.tokyosos.132productions.com. And, of course, on my Comic Book Crazy site, which is www.comicbookcrazy.132productions.com. Make sure you check out all our friends on the sidebar of the site. That, of course, includes TWK and the WrestleCast. And until next time, my wrestling fans, I do not know when I'll be back. I hope to be back in September, but when I do, I'll be back with another wrestling review because I am CMG, and I want you to remember one goddamn thing about me. I'm the best Jew in the world!
And you can't teach that.
Can it? if you can't learn that, you're S-W-F-T-T.
You're all that I have and you're all that I need. Each and every day I pray to get to know you. Please wanna be close to you, yes, I'm so hungry. You're like water for my soul when it gets thirsty. Without you, there's no me or the air that I breathe. Sometimes the world is dark and I just can't see. With these demons around all around, nobody without too negative a diva. I believe, yes, I believe, I said I believe. Stand among the feet, one people are down on one knee. I fight with all of my might and get these demons to flee. Hashem's rays, fire blaze, burn bright in, I believe. Hashem's rays, fire blaze, burn bright in, I believe. Out of darkness comes light, twilight and through the heights. Crown lights burning up, out of through the twilight. So thank you to my God, now I finally got it right. And I fight with all of my heart and all of my soul and all of my mind. I give myself to you from the essence of my being and I sing to my God. Songs of love and healing, I want Mashiach now. Time it starts a feeling. What's this feeling? My love will be falling a ceiling. I give myself to you from the essence of my being and I sing to my God. Songs of love and healing, I want Mashiach now. Stripping away the layers and reveal your soul. You gotta give yourself up and then you become whole. You're a slave to yourself and them don't even know. Them wanna live that fast life, but you're dreaming.